Good morning. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know last week we didn't have the sermon notes in there. And if you'd like a copy of them, there's some up back on the table there with the blanks filled in. If you'd like to add those to your collection. So this morning, we're on part three of our series in the book of Philippians titled Increasing Your Joy. Now we're still in chapter one. And we're going to be looking at verses 18b through verse 26. And if you're using the Bible under the chair in front of you, Philippians chapter 1, verses 18b through 26 is on page 951. So remember, Paul is in prison. He's waiting for his trial. But he's still preaching Christ. And because he's so faithful in preaching Christ, God was honoring his preaching. Unbelievers were being saved, and believers were being encouraged to step forward and become a bolder witness for Christ. Everyone, or pretty much everyone throughout Rome, had probably heard about Paul at this point. And in this passage we're looking at this morning, Paul is facing some uncertainty. He's not sure if he'll live and be released from prison, or if he'll be found guilty and be executed by the Romans. But even though Paul doesn't know what's going to happen, he's displaying confidence. A confidence that no matter how this ends, it will be for the glory of Christ. So let's read through Philippians chapter 1, verses 18b through 26. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us all here, and thank you for each and every person that's sitting here this morning. And just pray that we all come to you with open hearts and open minds as we listen to your word, and just look at what Paul was going through and how we can learn from him where he got his confidence from, and how we can leave here with that confidence ourselves, Father. We pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So several years ago, Pam and I were attending a small group in Keyser Falls. And there was a woman in this group named Thelma. I don't know how old she was. I'm guessing she was in her 40s or 50s. At that time, but Thelma liked to rollerblade. We'd see her around town rollerblading along. She was always smiling. Sometimes she'd be laughing quite hard because she wasn't always real steady on the rollerblades, but she was just full of joy as she skated around town. One night, Thelma told us that she wanted to rollerblade to Massachusetts. Now, we weren't sure if she'd really do that, if it was just something she was thinking about. But a couple of weeks later, when we saw Thelma again in the small group, she said that she had gone. She wound up driving to Massachusetts, but she left her car in a parking lot, and she took off on her rollerblades. I'm not sure, I can't remember all the details. I can't remember if she had a destination or if she was just rollerblading around, but Thelma had planned on skating all day. When she got tired, she was going to look for a place to spend the night. She didn't have this planned out. She was trusting God to keep her safe, provide what she needed for her trip. See, Thelma had faith like we had never seen before. I mean, most of us, even those with a strong faith, would have been more cautious and planned everything out because we wouldn't dare to leave anything to chance. But not Thelma. She was completely trusting God to provide everything she needed. She didn't seem concerned about anything. She was excited about spending a couple of days rollerblading with God. So when Thelma was telling us about it, she said that she skated for a few hours, and it was starting to get dark, and she was feeling exhausted, and she'd been praying to God to provide a place to stay, but she hadn't found anything yet. Then she said she skated up to this old abandoned motel, and there were a group of men sitting outside of it, partying, and as she said, doing whatever they were doing. She skated up to him and asked him if there was a place where she could spend the night. Now, these guys stopped what they were doing. They went in and cleaned out one of the rooms as best they could, told her she could stay there. And Thelma spent the night there in that room with this group of guys standing outside, guarding the door so that no one would bother her. She said when she got ready to leave in the morning, she went out to thank these men for their kindness. They were touched by the fact that she hadn't judged them, that she wasn't afraid to ask them for help. They told her that no one had ever asked them for anything before. Thelma had a great weekend rollerblading with God around Massachusetts. She had completely put her trust in God and had confidence that he would provide what she needed, and he did, and through that blessed this group of men. That kind of confidence can only come from having a strong relationship with Jesus Christ and experiencing his working in your life because you have put your trust into him. That's the same kind of confidence that Paul has here. He had experienced God's work in his life because he continually put his trust in Jesus Christ. And we can have that same confidence as well. If we take the time to build a strong relationship with Jesus Christ by spending time with him every day, reading the Bible, praying, and just sitting quietly in his presence. See, the stronger our relationship with Jesus is, the easier it will be for us to put our trust in him. And when we learn to put our trust in Jesus, there are four things that we can be confident of. The first one is, I can be confident that I will be delivered from my circumstances. So let's read through verses 18 and 19 again. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul is confident that he'll be delivered from his circumstances, either by being released from prison or being released from the troubles of this world and entering into heaven through his execution. But he knew he'd be delivered from his circumstance one way or the other. Paul's confidence because he knows, one reason is that he knows he has a strong church praying for him. And through those prayers, the Holy Spirit would provide everything he needed to get through his circumstance. Nothing great happens outside of prayer. If you're a Christian, whether you realize it or not, you're saved because someone was praying for you. Or maybe you even had a number of people praying for you. I can personally attest to this one, and most of you know this, but 10 years ago, I thought going to church on a regular basis was kind of foolish. It was just kind of a waste of time, but Pam rallied up about 20 people praying for me, and here I am, here every week. God answers all of our prayers. But corporate prayer, that's the number of people praying for the same thing. It puts more power in that prayer. The Great Awakening, all the revivals throughout history, they've all been the direct result of corporate prayers. More people praying means more powerful prayers. And that's why we offer opportunities to have other people pray with you here at the Orchard. We have a prayer meeting open to everyone every Sunday morning out in the nursery. There's a section on the bottom of the prayer list that you can fill out and place in one of the collection boxes to have your prayer request put on the list so the whole congregation can pray with you. Or for something that you just like you and I to pray on together, you can fill out the prayer section on one of the Green Connect cards, drop that in one of the boxes, and it'll just be you and I. No one else will see that. It'll just be between us. And then, of course, at any time, if you have something on your heart that you'd like to pray about, just ask anybody here in the church. We'd love to pray with you. It's vital to our spiritual growth that we spend time alone in prayer with God. But it's also very important that we pray together as a family. Just like Paul, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can be confident that we'll be delivered from our circumstances. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And then Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So we can be confident that we'll be delivered from our circumstances. And number two, I can be confident that Jesus Christ will be exalted by my life. So let's read through verses 20 and 21. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So Paul's confident that he's going to be able to stand firm in Christ, and by that I mean that he'll not be afraid. He'll be able to speak boldly about Christ at his trial. And he'll also stand firm in Christ by not becoming discouraged or depressed, by not questioning God or turning away from him. He has that confidence. Then Paul says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul is saying that just like we all should be, he lives his life for Christ, in Christ. That's what he was saying to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he said, "To die is gain." How is death a gain? Well, that means Paul knows that when he dies, he'll be freed from all the problems of this world. He will gain. He will be in the presence of Jesus Christ for the rest of eternity. All Christians, and that's everyone who is committed their lives to Jesus Christ and accepted the forgiveness that he offers, all Christians are going to experience that same thing. When we die, we'll be freed from the problems of this world. whatever they may be. Maybe health issues, maybe financial problems, the stress of everyday life, or the struggle to remain holy in a world that's all messed up. We're going to be free from all that. We'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Think about that. So how do we exalt Jesus Christ with our lives? Well, think about a telescope. A telescope takes objects that are very far away and it magnifies them, brings them up close so we can clearly see them. Now, to an unbeliever, Jesus isn't very big. He's far away. Other things and other people are far more important to them. But when an unbeliever watches the way we as Christians treat other people, or the way we handle a crisis situation in our lives, they should be able to see how big Jesus really is. They should see Jesus magnified. Our life is the lens that makes a faraway Christ come very close. Then number three, I can be confident that God's plan for my life is good. Verses 22 through 24. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul is struggling between two desires. One desire is to live a life fruitful for the Lord, continue living that life. The other desire is to go away and go on to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, Paul's struggling because both of these desires are desirable. It would be rewarding to help the Philippians grow in their faith and joy in the Lord. But he also knows that it would be far better to be with Jesus. But here's the thing. Paul knows that whichever one God has planned for him will be good. We're all going to be faced with the same struggle someday. Which is stronger? Our desire to continue serving the Lord or our desire to be with him? It's probably not going to be as easy to see when we face this struggle. But whichever one God has planned for us is good. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God's plans may not seem it at the time, but they're good. They're for our good. And number four, the final one. I can be confident that my service will bring glory to Christ. Verses 25 and 26. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So in these verses, it seems like Paul has settled that struggle in his mind. He's now convinced that he will live and continue helping the Philippians with their spiritual growth. And just like Paul, we should be helping new believers as well. Every time we see an opportunity to help them with their spiritual growth, we should do that. Even if we don't think we have anything to offer, we do. It's amazing when you realize that something that you did or said
to somebody learning about the faith, it really touches their lives and you didn't think it had any impact at all. So it's important that whenever that opportunity comes up, that we take advantage of it and help them grow. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." So then Paul goes on to say, "So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." Now, when you first read that, it sounds like Paul's a little prideful, doesn't it? It's all on account of me, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that when he returned to the Philippians, when he's back there teaching them again, they're going to know that the only reason he's still alive and he's back there serving them is because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ delivered him from the Romans. That's going to create their boasting in Christ Jesus. See, whenever we're serving other believers, they'll know that it's because of Jesus Christ. And they'll rejoice because of him, not because of us. And when we're serving unbelievers, we need to try and help them see that it's not us, it's because of Jesus Christ. It's his love that we're sharing with them. But as long as we're serving for the right reason, Jesus Christ, the glory will be his. It will automatically go to him, as long as we're doing it with the right heart. What's amazing, the closer we get to Jesus, how much our confidence builds. And when we look at the confidence that we can have in Jesus, the confidence of knowing that he will deliver us from any circumstance, the confidence of knowing that he'll be exalted by our life, the confidence of knowing that his plan for our life is good, and the confidence that our serving will bring glory to him. When we understand that and we have that confidence, we can't help but be filled with joy. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this lesson this morning, for just showing us how Paul leans on you and that we can do the same thing. We can have that same confidence. We just learn to trust you. You're right there through anything that we're going through, and you're right there to guide us, lead us, protect us, and direct us, Father. And we thank you for loving us so much that you do that. And we just pray that this word gets into our hearts and doesn't just sit idle, that we act on it this week, that we move closer to you, that we build our confidence, that we gather together in prayer, not just alone, that we spend time with you alone, but we also gather together in prayer and share our prayer requests with each other. Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray this morning. Amen.